This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Label Sternbach and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. As we get underway on New Beginnings, Dr. Michael Osterholm, Regents Professor and Advisor to United States Presidents, joins us today. Can you talk about the challenges, current and in the future, of getting a hold of Paxlovid to fight COVID-19?
All U.S. government-distributed drug will be gone by March 8th. There may still be some available now that pharmacies can dispense for free to anyone, but certainly by March 8th, all available supply will be commercial only. That does mean that theoretically there may be a copay if you have insurance. But there is a Pfizer program to help with that called PAXESS, P-A-X-C-E-S-S. If you have Medicare, regardless of Part D or any other prescription plan, Medicaid, or are uninsured, you're eligible for a free course of Paxlovid. You can enroll on the PAXESS website, which is actually paxlovid.iassist.com. That's paxlovid.iassist.com. It takes about 5 minutes, but make sure you've got your prescription from your provider, as you'll need that. You can't do it ahead of time before you've gotten sick. Then you can get a voucher to take to the pharmacy to get Paxlovid for free if your insurance does not already cover it. If you have private insurance, the same website can enroll you for a copay card if your health plan does not cover the entire cost of the Paxlovid. The card will cover up to $1,500, which should cover all or most all of your copay expense. The total cost of the pharmacy markup is probably about $1,600. Get the card and then activate it by calling the number that's on the card. With the PAXESS program, you can enroll a family member, or your provider can do it, or the pharmacist can do it for you. You can also enroll over the phone. The number is 1-877-219-7225. Again, let me repeat. That number is 1-877-219-7225. Now, it's important to also get across the message who's at high risk and who should be treated. There's a lot of confusion in the community about this, and I know many people who have missed the opportunity to be treated with Paxlovid just because of the fact of this confusion. So, number one, older age. This is a major risk factor. Your risk of severe illness starts to go up after age 50 and is definitely increased after age of 65, even if you have no other health problems. Age is still the most important risk factor for severe outcomes of COVID-19. Do not negotiate the fact that you do or don't need Paxlovid if you're over age 65. That is just clear and compelling, and if your clinician doesn't support that, they are out of date with what needs to be done. In addition, anyone whose immune system is suppressed, perhaps because of cancer treatment like chemotherapy or other types of medications like steroids or treatments for autoimmune diseases. And finally, anyone with a chronic health condition like heart disease, lung disease, kidney problems, cancer, or diabetes. You all should receive Paxlovid within 5 days of the onset of your illness. This is important. This is what can keep you out of the hospital. This is what can keep you, even if you're in the hospital, from dying. So I can't say this enough. This is important. If you have difficulty finding a pharmacy with supply of Paxlovid, the Department of Health and Human Services has a treatment locator that shows who has supply and who is participating in PAXIS. The website for the PAXIS system is treatments, plural, .hhs.gov. That will help you locate where you can get the drug. We're certainly hearing about hesitancies from providers, a lot of skepticism in the medical community about who really needs to be treated, as well as discomfort with things like managing drug interactions and lack of awareness about treating early if the symptoms are mild. This is key for patients to know, too. They should be treated based on underlying risk, not based on how crummy their symptoms are. This is such an important point. In addition, let me just say that if you are not able to take Paxlovid because of interactions with other drugs that you're taking, we have a second drug, as you know. Molnupiravir from Merck is also available, and they have a program to assist with costs. But it's important to know, in this case, only providers can enroll patients, so they can't sign up for themselves. It's more complicated than the Paxos system, for sure, and does involve an assessment of the patient's finances, whereas Paxos does not. So just if you are not eligible to take Paxlovid, please ask your clinician about taking molnupiravir. If this is confusing to you, welcome to the crowd. But remember, this is all about saving one's life. It's about reducing serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. And again, I come back to those who should routinely be taking Paxlovid with an onset of COVID include the older populations, those with immune system suppression, and with other chronic health conditions. And do not be swayed by how crummy I feel or don't feel today. Oftentimes, the severity of COVID doesn't show up until the 7th or 10th day of infection. And at that point, it's far too late to have the benefit of Paxlovid.
That's Dr. Michael Osterholm. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's time now for my song of the week. Justin Timberlake is teasing new music by NSYNC. During an appearance on The Kelly Clarkson Show, Timberlake hinted that he and his bandmates are working on a follow-up to their comeback single, Better Place. The singer says the chemistry is still there between the group members and they've been in the studio, so there could be a little something in the future. NSYNC's first new music came in September when they released Better Place as a part of the Trolls Band's Together soundtrack. It was their first new music in over 20 years, but it was this song that got our attention. It's Justin Timberlake and NSYNC with Bye Bye Bye.
Start a fight. I know this.
That's Justin Timberlake and NSYNC with Bye Bye Bye, my song of the week. Be sure to download the Freddie Bell Radio Show's app and let's talk about the music. And today is National Call a Friend Day. This is a day to pick up the telephone, pull out your cell phone, and call someone that you haven't spoken with in a long time. Calling a friend can uplift their spirits, make them feel better, and also there's an added benefit of bringing you joy as well. Today is National Call a Friend Day, and see what you can do to not only uplift your friend's spirit, but yours too. I'm Freddie Bell, and we'll be right back.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Vaccines.gov is your trusted source for vital vaccine information, offering a user-friendly platform to access up-to-date details on vaccines, including COVID-19, discover nearby vaccination locations, understand vaccine safety, and access resources for healthcare providers. With multilingual support and comprehensive educational materials, Vaccine.gov empowers individuals and communities to make informed decisions, promoting public health through vaccination. Stay informed, stay protected is all at your fingertips on Vaccines.gov, a message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, and welcome to New Beginnings. And joining us right now as we begin our program is Kathy McClear, AARP's Minnesota State Director. And it's so good to be with you over this internet connection today. And oddly enough, that's what we're talking about. Hello, Kathy, and welcome back.
Hi, Freddie. Thanks for having me.
How vigilant do we need to be against people who would do us harm over the internet and across different types of airwaves?
You have to be so vigilant. We know that online scams and cybercrime is just, it's on the rise. And it's so critical to safeguard your passwords and keep your personal information private when you're online. And that's why we're hosting a free class. It's called Fraud Vigilance Against Cybercrimes. It will be March 6th. From 10:30 to 11 a.m., and that is being held at the Minneapolis Park and Recreation at 2117 West River Road North in Minneapolis. And we're going to talk about a host of issues to help you protect your identity online.
What are some of the high-level tips that do you think might be shared at this particular meeting that's happening in March?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about some of those basic precautions that you can take to really protect yourself from cyber criminals. So things like keeping your online identity protected, ways to bank safely online. I don't know about you, but I do almost all of my banking online these days. Mm-hmm. And it's important to understand how to do that safely. So many people are on social media, and I don't think a day goes by that one of my connections doesn't put out a message. Hey, don't respond to messages for me. I've been hacked. So we'll provide some tips on how to avoid losing control of your social media accounts and what to do if that happens to you. And then some of those red flags to recognize an online scam so that you can protect yourself and your hard-earned money.
So this is a really important topic, fraud, vigilance against cybercrime. Again, it's happening March 6th from 10:30 to 11:30 at the Minneapolis Park and Recreation. That's 2117 West River Road North in Minneapolis. It is so important. I know I just saw a report not long ago that talked about countries around the world who are getting it into your homes and into your businesses, siphoning off important information that could separate you from your money and your assets. What does the AARP Fraud Watch Network say about this, and how can they help individuals like us?
Yeah, well, we know that this is so problematic that that's why AARP started the Fraud Watch Network, to really help consumers stay up to date with reliable information and insights so that we can talk about those latest scams that are happening. I know Jay Hoppola from our team here at AARP Minnesota, I think you affectionately refer to him as the scam man. And yes. He's the guy who, you know, is really in tune with all those things that are happening and provides those timely updates for you on a regular basis. But if folks miss that, they can always get that information directly from us. You can sign up to be part of the AARP Fraud Watch Network. It's a free resource for all. You do not have to be 50. You do not have to be a member of AERP. And the Fraud Watch Network will really give you those really important tips on how to proactively spot those scams and get guidance if you may have been targeted or if you think that you may be a victim of fraud.
It's really interesting. I know that you do a lot of work at the legislative level. Does AERP have plans in the session that is just underway to talk about how to protect citizens and your members in particular from fraud instances that could occur like this?
Yeah, so we know that once you've been victimized, chances of getting your money back are very, very slim. And so this session, we will be working to establish a fraud restitution fund for folks who may have unfortunately been a victim of frauds and scams and lost money. And so we can talk more about that when the session starts.
All right. And this is happening again March 6th.
Yeah, March 6th, 10:30 to 11 a.m. at the Minneapolis Park and Recreation. You can find out more at aerp.org/MN events.
This is New Beginnings, and we're learning about fraud. Make sure you avail yourself to this particular event. It's really going to help you to save time and money.
Thanks for joining me this week on New Beginnings, and it happened this week. In 1989, investigators determined that the blast aboard Pan Am Flight 103 was caused by a bomb hidden inside a cassette recorder. The crash over Lockerbie, Scotland killed 270 people. In 2007, video footage of Britney Spears showed the singer emerging from a tattoo parlor in Sherman Oaks, California, with a bald head and a pair of red and pink lips tattooed on her wrist. Spears' shocking new look followed reports that the singer had checked into rehab a few days earlier and then checked out the next day. In 2011, IBM supercomputer Watson emerged as the big winner in a man versus machine showdown on TV's Jeopardy. Watson out-answered human competitors Ken Jennings and Brett Rutter, both former Jeopardy champions, by a wide margin to win the three-day trivia tournament. In 2016, a judge ordered Apple to help the FBI break into a phone belonging to one of the San Bernardino shooters that killed 14. Investigators have not been able to unlock the phone of shooter Syed Farouk because of encryption technology, and Apple previously declined to voluntarily help. In 2017, a federal judge tossed out a defamation lawsuit against Bill Cosby by a woman claiming the comedian raped her. The woman says Cosby was defaming her by denying her accusations. In 2019, Pope Francis defrocked Archbishop of Washington Theodore McCarrick for sexual assault of both adults and minors. In 2020, around 400 people were evacuated from a COVID-19 infected cruise ship called the Diamond Princess. It had been quarantined in Japan. And in 2021, with millions in the dark in Texas from a winter storm, Dallas recorded its coldest temperature in 70 years at 2 below 0 Fahrenheit. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP Job Board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. and, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
We're back again and continuing our discussion on Roth conversions. This week, we are going to talk about how much you should convert to Roth this year should you max out your current tax bracket or the next, or go all out and cover it all. And what about Irma? Now let's turn our attention to your financial health in retirement. And with us is Lavel Sternbach. He is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. So Lavel, last week we talked about how to know if a Roth conversion makes sense. Now let's talk about how much we should convert. I'm wondering, Lavel, is there some kind of magical formula you use? I know it's not magical, but it seems like it at times. I've heard a lot of people talk about different strategies. What's your first, what's your second, what's your third strategy?
So when it comes to figuring out how much to convert, right, the fundamental question is really what's going to have the biggest impact on our financial security, right? And it's what's going to have the impact on our financial security in the next, 10 years. And then the years I really like to look at is between age 80 and age 90. And the reason for that is because during those years, between age 80 and age 100, and the reason for that is that's where your required minimum distributions start to skyrocket, right? Almost everyone I see can make it through to age 80, no problem. Age 85, things start to deteriorate, and that's where that compounding impact of these decisions of, you max out the Roth conversion, you were fine until age 85, right? But then all of a sudden, things start to go haywire because the compounding differences, right, the 15, 20 years of compounding growth or loss of growth starts to really catch up to you. So the questions that I always ask, right? So number one, right, if we're in something like the 12% tax bracket, then I always recommend, almost always recommend maxing out that for conversions. Because the way I look at it is, well, 12%, we know taxes are going to go up. I doubt the 12% tax bracket is going to stay long term, right? The lowest tax bracket has been higher in the past, is almost certainly going to be higher in the future. So I think that's a worthwhile bet to make, right? Now going beyond the 12% tax bracket, that starts to become dicey because now we're talking about 22%, right? So if I'm giving you, 20, if I'm taking a 22% loss on all my money up front, that's a big hurdle for me to overcome, right? I need to have like almost a 50% return in order to get back to even. That takes a long time, right? That's a lot of money. And I'm doing all of that for the potential to save money on taxes down the road, which, if I know for sure that based on how the tax system is set up right now, where my income is going to be adjusted for inflation in the future, that I'm probably going to be in the 22% tax bracket, then, that's a reasonable assumption to make. That, depending on my outlook, right, maybe I'll max out the 22. And then if you're doing 22, you might as well do 24% and look at that because 2% more, right, that's nothing when you're, in the grand scheme of things. But the real question becomes, right, is how does that impact my financial security long term? How does that impact my lifestyle long term, right? We need to know the answers to those questions, because just because we're saving money on taxes now, just because it means that in the future we can pull the money out tax free, does not mean that we're going to have more money at the end of the day, right? It doesn't mean that we're going to have more money to fund our lifestyle. And if we have expenses up front, right, that can be catastrophic for us, right? I don't want you, you know, let's say you have $1 million. I don't want you giving $200,000 to the IRS on the hopeful bet that at some point in the future, you're going to save more than that in taxes.
That's an interesting perspective there. We're talking with Lable Sternbach. He's Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety. So you mentioned maxing out your current tax bracket. What are the pros and cons of maxing it out? And why would you want to go to the next tax bracket? I know earlier you said, what's another 2%? How would you answer that?
Yeah, so the reason for maxing out your current tax bracket, right, is, well, you're already in this tax bracket right now. And chances are, right, if you're in it right now, unless you're still earning money, unless you're still working and you're getting a paycheck, chances are you're probably going to stay in that relative zone of income throughout your retirement. So if we think taxes are going to go up in the future, which, I mean, almost everybody thinks taxes have to go up in the future, then why would we assume we would be in a lower tax bracket down the road, right? So that's the argument, right? And it's not necessarily a dollar and cents argument, right? Because if you map it out and you do the math, you may be like, oh, well, I'm paying more in taxes to convert the current tax bracket. But we know, you know, rationally, logically, we know the taxes are probably going to increase, right? There's a high probability of that happening. And by the way, I don't know if you've been following what's been happening with the treasuries, but we're starting to see some of those signs of stress that I've talked about on the podcast before that would be the precursor to taxes having to increase. And one of those precursors, one of those things is that the federal government cannot refinance their debt at affordable interest rates. And right now, the treasury, the auctions on treasuries, which is how the federal government refinances their debt, has been the lowest it's been in a very long time, because people don't have the same appetite to buy their debt, especially at these interest rates, when they can get better elsewhere. Or the big buyers like China just don't want money leaving their country, and so they're not rebuying, right? They're letting their treasuries mature and they're not replacing them. So when that happens, the federal government, when they can't get money from outside, they're going to have to get it internally, right? So at some point, taxes have to go up. I think that that's a given. The question is what are you going to experience? And based on your lifestyle, right, you're the only one who knows what your lifestyle is and whether you're going to be spending more or less in retirement. But I think it's a fair assumption that your taxes probably are going to remain pretty consistent. And the way I kind of look at it is, your taxes that you're paying right now, how are you relative to somebody who is working, right? Is the amount of income that you're taking out in retirement similar to a middle-class person who is working, a middle-class white-collar worker? Because if you're similar to a middle-class white-collar worker, right, meaning that you're living on somewhere like $100,000 to, you know, $200,000 a year, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. So somewhere between $75,000 and $150,000, let's say, right? If you're living in that range, you're going to be the target for Congress, right? Because they're not going to care whether you're retired or not. What they're going to really be going after is the bulk of the working population. And they're going to be targeting taxes toward those people, and you're going to get swept up in that. Conversely, if you're at the bottom end of the tier, right, and your taxable income is, you know, at the federal poverty line because you're taking it out of Roths, because you're taking it out of, you know, qualified dividends or, you know, qualified interest or capital gains, right, and you're not, your taxable income on your tax return is, you know, below $50,000 a year, well, then you're probably going to get all the subsidies, right? We talk about being a welfare state. It goes to the bottom tier workers, right? The people who are making the least amount of money. And that's where I want you to be in retirement. I want your tax return to look no different than the person who is managing a McDonald's, right? And is struggling to make ends meet because they're the ones who get all the federal subsidies. They're the ones who the tax code is a wealth transfer system and not a way of paying taxes. And so you really need to kind of, you know, do that math and say to yourselves, where am I going to be? And how do I position myself, you know, so that I'm in that lower tax bracket? And so when you talk about converting, right, I want you to keep a few things in mind, right? We want to be in the lower tax bracket. So when we're in the lower tax bracket, take full advantage of it. When we're in the higher tax bracket, what's the difference between 22 and 24%? Realistically speaking, if we're willing to give up one-fifth of our money to save taxes down the road, then we should be willing to give up, you know, 2% more, right? Go from one-fifth to one-quarter. The math does not change between, you know, 20% and 24% or 22% and 24%. If it was the right decision at 22%, it's the right decision at 24%. And then finally, right, when you look at all that, you then need to say, will I save enough money over time and will it impact my financial security in such a way that I'm comfortable with, right? Given the all the unknowns that I have. And the only way to answer that question is to map it out and see what those numbers look like, because I guarantee you, you're going to fall somewhere in the middle.
Label's helping us to make some decisions with our Roth conversions. And I know you've talked about it often on this show, Label, about how the biggest threat to retirement is drawdown or the decrease in value of your portfolio. Can you share with us right now about how that relates to the Roth conversion question? And I guess more importantly, how we should be thinking about the hit we might take when doing a Roth conversion?
Yeah, so we really, you know, when I think about the financial decisions that we make in retirement, the context I look at it from is by asking these five questions, right? These are what I see as being the five major risks. Risk number one is drawdown, anything that decreases our portfolio value, right? Because at the end of the day, right, you know, the government says they're going to give us money for Social Security, but we know that behind the scenes, they're pulling the rug out from under us. They're doing everything they can to make that check as small as possible, right? And we know that they're going to run into funding problems as the retiree population outnumbers the working population, right? It just, that's how it is. It's a legalized Ponzi scheme. So we know that that's a problem that's coming down the road, which means that we need to make sure we have as much resources as possible to support ourselves. The other thing we need to keep in mind is that medical science and, you know, the cost of care and the cost of, you know, living a life of comfort, right? We don't want to be living on the streets. We don't want to be living as a ward of the state. We want to make sure that we're living with dignity and comfort and to our standards. And so that means having resources to be able to pay for life, right? And so when we look at our resources, they are finite and we need to protect them. And the biggest expense that we're going to have in retirement is probably going to be taxes. So we want to make sure to protect against that. But by the same token, it's anything that decreases our portfolio value. So it doesn't matter if it's marked losses, doesn't matter if taxes, doesn't matter if it's paying retail, doesn't matter if it's a sudden and unexpected expense, right? A tree falls on our car, we need to get a new car. We need to make sure that when we're paying for that expense, we're doing it in a way that doesn't upset our long-term financial security, right? And so it may be worth paying, you know, getting a loan and paying interest so that we have that money for the compounding growth over, you know, 30 years, whereas a car loan, you know, gets paid off in 3 or 4 years, right? And so those are, you know, we need to stop playing checkers and start doing, you know, calculus, playing, you know, three-dimensional chess, because that's really what retirement is. And if we're not willing to do it, the government has an army of statisticians who are doing it. Their entire job is to figure out how to take money from one person's pocket, give it to the federal government, and then slowly dole it out so that, in theory, our country becomes a better place.
So as an advisor, how do you walk that narrow path between the people on the left and the people on the right? So for the average investor, how do you help them to navigate how much they should convert with Roth?
So the only question that I really think matters, right, is at the end of the day, how will it impact your lifestyle, right? And lifestyle is a subjective thing, right? There's a subjective component and objective. So the subjective is I feel safe. I feel secure, right? I feel like, you know, the fact that I want to make sure that the vast majority of my money isn't taxable in the future, right? I'm worried about taxes in the future. If that's what keeps you up at night, then by all means, we need to protect against it. On the same token, I want to make sure that you know, we're not protecting ourselves from the demons under the bed but sacrificing, you know, having a roof over our table and letting very real monsters into our home, right? So we want to make sure that we're balancing, you know, the potential disasters from the actual disasters. And my goal as a financial advisor is to understand what are the things that are important to you and then making sure that we have a financial plan that is sound and protects against the things that we know for certain are going to happen or we have a high probability are and a high probability that are going to happen. And what we look at, right, and, you know, right now, tax time, this is what I'm doing with all of our clients is we go through and we reevaluate all those decisions and we say, based on where we are today, based on our assumptions, what do we want to do, right? And there's no right or wrong answer. But there is, you know, there is, does this make us more financially secure or less financially secure? And if it's something that's neutral, then it's something that, you know, that's a decision that's, you know, we then look at the subjective side, right? And say, well, it makes us sleep better at night. Then let's do it. If it doesn't, right? If all of a sudden it's teetering to the other side and it's making us not sleep at night because we might run out of money, right? Or it's making me as your advisor feel like we might run out of money. That is a conversation that we have, because the last thing that we want is, you know, to sacrifice one, you know, one security for another.
Makes a lot of sense. And unfortunately, Label, we have to leave it right there. You've given us a lot to think about, and that's all the time we have left for today. But you can join us next week as we talk about Irma and how it impacts your Roth conversion strategy. And a reminder, you can visit yieldsforyou.com, classes and information, yields, the number four, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and we'll be right back. Just for fun right now and news from the lighter side of my desk, French high wire artist Philippe Petit, who walked between the Twin Towers in 1974, is doing another rope walk in New York. He became famous for the heart-stopping wire walk when he was 24. Now at the age of 74, he's airborne at the Church St. John the Divine, navigating 1,100 floating ribbons. It's a special art installation made for the church. Petit says they asked and he didn't hesitate for a second. Despite his age, he says he's never felt more secure on the high wire and has no plans to retire. Another big streamer is cracking down on password sharing. Disney-owned Hulu is revising its terms of service to now ban sharing accounts with people outside of your own household. And taggers have somehow graffitified 27 stories of a 53-story skyscraper in downtown LA. It happened at the Oceanwide Plaza across from the Crypto.com arena. The three-tower complex has been sitting dormant for 5 years after the developer ran out of money. Video taken late Tuesday night shows a person on a balcony of the building that was tagged. No arrests have been made. And the oldest living person in the United States is celebrating a milestone. Edith Cesarelli turned 116 on February 5th. That's according to the Gerontology Research Group. Her town of Willits, California threw a birthday bash for her with a parade despite rain and wind throughout the region. A friend of hers says that there is an incredible turnout. Her birthday celebration has become an annual event in recent years. Congratulations to you. And here's why dogs love to romp in the snow. They love it. Why? A few years ago, a scientist from the University of British Columbia in Canada says that many dogs love snow in the way that a toddler loves snow. It's simply fun to play with. Dogs like to manipulate their environment just the way kids do, and the mind of a dog is very much like that of a two-year-old. However, the researcher also says that not all dogs will exhibit this behavior. Often it's common to see dogs with thick fur playing in the snow. Nordic breeds like Huskies and Retrievers, which were bred to thrive in the cold, snowy conditions, tend to like snow much more than those with thin coats like Greyhounds and Chihuahuas, which will get cold more quickly. And now you know. And now here's a quick joke for you. A teacher said to her student, Billy, if both of your parents were born in 1967, how old are they now? And after a few moments, Billy answered, it depends. She says, it depends on what? Billy replied, it depends on whether you ask my mother or if you ask my father. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Now, remember the story I've told you several times from Myrtle Fillmore. She had a woman write to her, and she said, "I've used the Unity affirmations over and over. I've said day after day, I don't have the flu, I don't have the flu, I don't have the flu, I don't have the flu. And it's not working." And Myrtle wrote back to her and said, "My dear," in her comforting motherly tones, "Unity does not ask you to deny your experience. We ask you to deny that that is the eternal truth of who you are. Your illness is something that you pass through, even if it is an illness unto death. You pass through it. Your spirit, your essential core, goes on. So like that man that cried out, 'Help my unbelief,' look at challenges in your life and affirm, 'I am, I exist. Therefore, I have God-given potential that may not take me over this problem or obstacle in an instant, but it's a beginning. It's a step forward. It's a tool to help me move in the direction of my wholeness.'" Are those words I love from Henry David Thoreau, to move confidently in the direction of your dreams and to live the life you have imagined. You won't get there, as those folks said to Mr. Fillmore in Kansas City 100 years ago, what am I going to do? Or as someone told me not long ago, facing a housing situation, "Oh, Reverend, you don't understand. I'm in an impossible position. There's no way out. There's nothing I can do. I'm at the mercy of this circumstance." And I just prayed that her mind would open to the idea that there is a possibility for her to move forward. And when you grasp that possibility of your very existence, someone said your presence in this world is a testimony or an assurance to God's infinite love for you. Do you ever stop and think about how you must be loved by your Creator to have been given the opportunity of life in this world, to exist, to experience, to create a life? You have this possibility, this "I am," this truth. There's a cliche I almost didn't want to use because it's a little bit not appropriate anymore. but I'll clean it up. The opera's not over until the lady sings. As long as you're here, as long as you can say, I am, I exist, there's rich opportunity, potential, the ability to step forward. And so it is. And I invite you to turn within for a moment so that we can just seal this with a potent verse. I've used it before in my classes. Some of you may think I've used it too much. For those of you that are inspired by it, there is a card, prayer card, down in the lobby you can pick up. It's an ancient prayer of unknown origin, but it tries to capture for you this idea of your essential life, your existence, your being. So I invite you to close your eyes for a moment. Let me speak these words that they might nourish and stimulate an idea within you or plant a new seed thought. Take a breath and just relax. There is an old spiritual tradition, I believe of Buddhist origin, called the practice of I am not. I like to rephrase it as I am more than. I am more than my career. I am more than my ancestry. I am more than my socioeconomic status. I am more than my present definition of success. I am. More radiant than the sun in its noontime glory. Purer than the untouched snow on a mountain peak. More subtle than the essence of material matter is the self, the spirit within my heart. I am that self. That self am I. So for a moment in the silence, hold these words that Jesus spoke, because they're true for all of us. I and the Father am one in the garden of this life. You, O Divine One, Eternal Power, walk with me and talk with me and lead me. How can I fear anything when your Almighty Spirit animates me, empowers me, loves me?
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Here are today's words to the wise. Forgiving someone is a sign of strength, and it's also a testament to our resilience and inner fortitude. It reflects the ability to rise above hurt, letting go of resentment, and embracing the transformative power of compassion. In choosing forgiveness, we show emotional maturity, recognizing that it takes strength to release the weight of grudges and move forward. It's an acknowledgement that true strength lies not in holding on to anger, but in the courage to free ourselves from the chains of bitterness, fostering personal growth and healing. Today's words to the wise, forgiving someone is a sign of strength. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.